Welcome to Speak Up and Stay Alive Radio with author, speaker, and your host, Pat Rulo. Serving you a generous helping of everything you need to know to help you and your loved ones stay safe during any doctor or hospital visit. The program is not intended to replace medical advice from a licensed professional, but rather to encourage you to become a well-informed participant in your health and well-being. And now, your host, Pat Rulo.
Hello, I'm Pat Rulo, and we're back together again for another packed hour of healthcare safety tips and tools. And today we have a lot going on. Our guest has much to share about post-traumatic stress disorder and how meditation helped her son, who is a war veteran. And we're going to draw some parallels between this and the stress of everyday living and hospital stays. That will be quite helpful for all of us. And later, a patient activist who used to appear on our show quite often a few years back has graciously allowed me to share a short bit she presented at a healthcare symposium about cost transparency. And why don't we, as patients, ask the question, how much is that? Disruptive innovation is what she calls it. So we have lots to talk about today. But first, I have to share some recent come-to-light food foolishness. Well, actually, it's way beyond foolish. It's just plain wrong. We all know that what we put into our guts defines who we are, affects our weight, our outlook, moods, and ultimately our health. Yet industry and government could care less. Yet they hide behind the "we care about you" mask, and their high-priced marketing mumbo tells you all kinds of happy and smart things, shows you all types of pretty images, while surreptitiously filling their boxes and cans and bags and menus with garbage, poisons, and chemicals that kill rats. And guess what? You're next. So with that, let's head into today's healthcare hazard of the week. Food foolishness and fairy tales. The blueberries found in blueberry bagels and cereals and breads and muffins are real blueberries, right? Nope, wrong. Award-winning investigative journalist Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, exposes the deceptive chemical ingredients and dishonest marketing of blueberry products from big-name food and cereal companies. The blueberries, it turns out, are made from artificial colors, hydrogenated oils, and liquid sugars. You can find more interesting investigations from this health ranger at foodinvestigations.com. He says, pictures of blueberries are prominently displayed on the front of many food packages, on boxes of muffins, cereals, and breads. But turn the packages around, and suddenly the blueberries disappear. They're gone, replaced in the ingredients list with sugars, oils, and artificial colors derived from petrochemicals. The bag of blueberry bagels sold at Target stores is made with blueberry bits. And while actual blueberries are found further down the ingredient list, the blueberry bits themselves don't even contain bits of blueberries. They're made entirely from sugar, corn cereal, modified food starch, partially hydrogenated vegetable oil, artificial flavor, cellulose gum, salt, and the wonderful artificial colors like blue number 2, red number 40, green number 3, and blue number 1. What's missing from that list? Well, blueberries. Where did the blueberries go? Well, they certainly didn't end up in total blueberry pomegranate cereal. This cereal is made by General Mills and contains neither blueberries nor pomegranates. They're nowhere to be found. But the cereal is made with red number 4 and blue number 2 and other artificial colors. It's even sweetened with sucralose, a chemical sweetener. And that's in addition to the sugar and corn syrup and brown sugar syrup that's already on the label. Yum, how's that for a healthy breakfast? A lot of products that imply they're made with blueberries contain no blueberries at all. And many that do contain a tiny amount of blueberries, cut their recipes with artificial blueberry ingredients to make it look like their products contain more blueberries than they really do. Kellogg's Blueberry Pop-Tarts shows a picture of plump blueberries right on the front of the box. But inside the box, there's a lot more high fructose corn syrup than actual blueberries. And the corn syrup is given a blueberry color with the addition of, guess what? Red number 40, blue number 1, and blue number 2 chemicals. Kellogg's Frosted Mini Wheats also come in a blueberry muffin variety with fresh blueberries prominently featured on the front of the package. But inside, there are no actual blueberries to be found. Instead, you get blueberry-flavored crunchlets. Oh, yes, crunchlets, not even a word, made from sugars, soybean oil, red 40, and blue 2. And if you can believe it, the side panel of this box features the Frosted Mini Wheats bite-size logo, followed by the words blueberry muffin with pictures of blueberries, finally followed by the words the whole truth. Except it really isn't the whole truth at all. It's more like a half-truth. These marketing deceptions even continue on Kellogg's website, where one page claims new Special K blueberry fruit crisps are filled with blueberries and drizzled with vanilla icing. Except they really aren't. What they're really filled with is apple powder, partially hydrogenated soybean oil, fructose sugar, artificial colors, and that red 40 and blue 1, all enhanced with a dash of blueberry puree concentrate. Even seemingly healthy blueberry products can be deceptive. Betty Crocker's Fiber One Blueberry Muffin Mix enhances its small amount of actual blueberries with petrochemical colors too, red 40, blue 1, and blue 2. Well, at least Betty Crocker's Blueberry Muffin Mix admits it contains no real blueberries. Well, that is, if you read the fine print, its ingredients reveal artificial blueberry flavor bits, which are made from dextrose, corn flour, partially hydrogenated soybean oil, sugar, citric acid, artificial flavor, and of course, the obligatory blue 1 and red 40. When consumers buy blueberry cereals, muffins, and mixes, they're under the impression that they're buying real blueberries. Now, no ordinary consumer realizes they're actually buying blue coloring chemicals mixed with hydrogenated oils and liquid sugars. That's why this common industry practice of faking blueberries is so deceptive. So why can't food companies just be more honest about it? Why can't Kellogg's and Betty Crocker and General Mills and Target stores use real blueberries in their products instead of deceptively formulating them with artificial petrochemical colors that mimic the purple color of blueberries? It's probably because real blueberries are expensive, and artificial blueberry bits made with sugar and oils and colors are dirt cheap. If these companies can fool consumers into thinking they're buying real blueberries in their products, they can command a price premium that translates into increased profits. And once again, in the food industry, deception pays off, and it pays big. So what can you do to make sure you don't get scammed by a food company trying to sell you red 40 and blue 2 as if it were real blueberries? Read the ingredients. If you see artificial colors on the list, and they're usually found at the very bottom of the ingredient list, just don't buy that product. Put it back on the shelf and choose something else that's not deceptively marketed. And that's how you solve the case of the missing blueberries. And now, onto one of my favorites, Chipotle's. No, I don't eat there often, maybe once a month. And now they're even better, as they tout, big sign in the store, a farewell to GMOs, genetically modified foods. Hooray, I can eat there without worrying of consuming Monsanto's Roundup and other genetically modified Frankenfood. Or can I? Is it industry doublespeak? Marketing hype? Smoke and mirrors? Well, here's a few reasons why it just might be. Number one is soda. Way down at the bottom of the Chipotle's website page that announces their new policy, far below the headlines that says, Food with Integrity, GM over it, you'll find this sentence. Many of the beverages sold in our restaurants contain genetically modified ingredients, including those containing corn syrup, which is not GMO-free. I don't know, maybe the drinks don't count. Let's give them that. Next we have the super weed double standard. As an example of the ways that GMOs can damage the environment, Chipotle points to the problems caused by the herbicide-tolerant GMO crops and how they encourage farmers to use a single herbicide, usually glyphosate, better known as Monsanto's Roundup. This in turn has led to the emergence of herbicide-resistant weeds, which Chipotle calls superweeds. So their answer to this, per its new non-GMO policy, is to switch from soybean oil to sunflower oil. Well, now the problem with that is many sunflower varieties, while not genetically modified, are also herbicide tolerant. They were bred to tolerate a class of herbicides called ALS inhibitors. And since farmers started relying on these herbicides, many weeds have evolved resistance to them. In fact, many more weeds have become resistant to ALS inhibitors than to glyphosate. So why should Chipotle have a problem with weeds that are resistant to glyphosate, yet not to other weed killers? I don't know. Maybe they're still okay here, huh? Then finally, we have meat. Chipotle says it wasn't too difficult or expensive to remove GMO ingredients from its burritos. It simply had to find new suppliers for corn flour and cooking oil. But what about the meat from pigs or chickens that consumed a GMO diet? It takes a huge amount of corn or soybeans to feed Chipotle's animals, much more so than what's needed for its tortillas or cooking oil. And we know that almost every kernel of corn and most soybeans are genetically modified. So what are these Chipotle animals eating? According to their website, the meat and dairy products we buy come from animals that are not genetically modified. But it is important to note that most animal feed in the U.S. is genetically modified, which means that the meat and dairy served at Chipotle are likely to come from animals given at least some GMO feed. Apparently, finding a new supply of animal feed would raise their costs, so Chipotle isn't doing it. Sounds kind of iffy if you ask me. I'm not sure they should proudly announce GMO-free unless they really are 100% GMO-free. As a consumer, I shouldn't have to guess where the hidden GMOs might be lurking in my Chipotle meal. You're either GMO-free or you're not. It's like being a little bit pregnant. Not possible. And to tout yourself as not pregnant while on the delivery room floor just isn't cool. And guess what? No one believes it either. So come on, Chipotles, make up your mind and tell the whole truth. And here's my final food foolishness. Oh, the Obama administration rolled out the new guidelines last year in a bid to limit the amount of junk foods kids eat in school called, oh my gosh, smart snacks. Heaven help us when they think that they could use the word smart and we believe it. Think smart meters, smartphones, right? The USDA took a major step forward in releasing the smart snacks and school nutrition standards for all foods and beverages sold to students during the school day in vending machines, school stores, snack carts, and a la carte lines, as well as through fundraising. These standards are now in effect and apply to all of our school campuses. So given that, I'm sure you're thinking carrots, whole grain snack bars. But what about Flaming Hot Cheetos? Well, thanks to some formula manipulation by Frito-Lay, these spicy red-orange cheese puffs are now meeting federal smart snack guidelines. And it's simple. Just reduce the amount of fat and salt and boost the amount of whole grains a snack contains in order to meet federal nutrition regulations, and you have yourself a winner. The food industry can do anything to meet these new nutrition standards, and this is a perfect example of that. And I say there's no such thing as junk food. Either it's junk or it's food. And while some legislators have attempted to get Flaming Hot Cheetos and other junk foods banned from campuses, other state lawmakers believe that the health-oriented rule makes it too difficult for cash-strapped schools to raise money through vending machines and bake sales. In Chicago, schools that sell Cheetos and vending machines get a 20% cut of the profits. Given that, it's estimated that students spend about $2.3 billion on snacks and beverages in the nation's schools every year. Therefore, these school districts stand to make a decent chunk of change. The USDA, which runs the Smart Snacks program, also wouldn't comment on Flaming Hot Cheetos being sold in vending machines. It would only say that the new guidelines have helped kids across the country eat healthier. Wow, people say anything anymore and expect us to believe it. And here's where it gets especially dangerous. These copycat reformulated snacks are not widely available for purchase outside of schools. This means that if children want the snack outside of school, say from their local grocery store or convenience store, they are limited to the less healthy versions. And if you check out the bags, they look quite similar. So no kid is going to notice the difference or even care. However, because the snack is endorsed at school as a smart snack, everyone, including mom and dad, are led to believe that the Flaming Hot Cheetos found at the grocery store are the same ones served in school, a smart snack. My, how I have come to despise that word. Smart. Smarter than what? There's also a smart snack compliant Doritos and Goldfish. What's next? Bacon and Peeps? So there you have it. A snapshot of food foolishness, lies, deception, manipulation, word games, and fairy tales, all guaranteed to create wealth for a few and destroy health for the rest of us. Major food companies desperately want to be perceived as part of the solution to a man-made health crisis. They can give a rat's patootie about your health, but want you to believe they do. Now that's smart. Let's stop buying into it. We can stop this by reading labels and speak with your wallet. That is the only way to stop this embarrassing crime against humanity. For your health, pay attention. Remember, you have to speak up and stay alive. Hi, I'm Pat Rulo, and I have a question for you. Have you ever visited someone in the hospital and wanted to bring a small gift? Yikes! The flowers in the hospital gift shop cost a fortune, and then they die. Who wants a dead anything during a hospital stay? Well, I have a great idea. Bring a canister of disinfecting wipes and a pump container of hand sanitizer. Place it on the patient's tray table to encourage everyone to be mindful of hospital-acquired infections. And bring a copy of my book, Speak Up and Stay Alive, The Hospital Survival Guide. Just the cover alone is a real conversation starter. Stay safe during every healthcare or hospital encounter. Get a copy or two of the book and listen to our weekly radio shows. For more information and to get your hands on your own life-saving book, visit speakupandstayalive.com. That's speakupandstayalive.com. Why choose the Welsh Home in Rocky River, Ohio to care for your loved one's senior care? Let's spend the next 2 minutes with Sarah Cook from the Welsh Home and find out. Welcome, Sarah.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Sarah, what levels of care do you offer at the Welsh Home?
We have short-term rehabilitation stay. We do skilled nursing needs, again, on a short-term or a long-term basis. We have long-term health care for those that need permanent living situation. And we also do have a very small assisted living.
But you basically specialize in folks who need care right after a hospital stay. Is that correct?
Correct. The post-acute is what the industry is calling it right now. Care needs are those that when somebody's coming from the hospital and intending to go home, kind of a short stay to help set up that person for success, not only in our environment, but when they go home. It's that additional education, therapy, and just opportunities to make sure that the person is successful once they transition back to home.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us today.
Thank you.
If you or someone you know needs this transition period from hospital to home, you are invited to come in for a tour and see firsthand the quality of services the Welsh Home has to offer. And you do not have to be Welsh. Call them today to arrange for a tour. It's 440-331-0420. 440-331-0420, or you can visit online at welshhome.com. You're listening to Speak Up and Stay Alive, Patient Safety Radio, and I am your hostess, Pat Rulo, always interested to delve into delicate or difficult topics and bring them to your attention and offer solutions. Well, today my guest is a friend who hosts a radio program on our very own Speak Up Talk Radio network, speakuptalkradio.com, and you hear me mention that each and every week. Well, last week when she sent her show to us to add to the radio lineup, I listened as usual and was so touched that I knew I just had to share her with you. She is Dr. Jen Royster. Jen is an internationally known intuitive spiritual counselor and teacher, an energy healer, visionary, and radio host of The Jen Royster Show, a popular international radio show that's now in its fifth year. Jen is also well known for her innovative style in spiritual crisis counseling and support for empaths. Her work has gained respect with many integrative medical doctors and psychologists who refer patients to her for spiritual counseling. Jen believes healing the spirit can help everyone with some aspect of their lives, whether their personal problems are emotional, physical, or spiritual. She has seen through experience that energy healing is powerful healing, and we are going to talk about that today. So welcome to the show, Jen.
Thank you, Pat. It's great to be here, and hello to all of your listeners.
Well, thank you. Well, I mentioned in your intro that when I listened to your show last week, I knew how very special it was to you because you interviewed your son, JB, an Iraq war veteran who is experiencing post-traumatic stress disorder, and he was telling how in the military, they are trained to be angry and violent. Yet when they return home, this thought process and behavior is certainly not socially acceptable in civilian life, but yet they're not untrained or retrained and often simply avoid relationships, avoid going out for fear that something might trigger a negative response. I'd like to talk about that for a bit, especially with you as a mom. What have you seen from your son that speaks to this phenomenon?
I actually saw it in both of my sons. They both served, and so did my daughter-in-law. And there's an anger that they were processing. And both of them were asking me, why are we here? They were being challenged by, I think they had an impression of what they were going over to do. Got there, and eyes wide open was a bit of a shock and awareness for them. Coming back after being in the intensity and the culture and the environment, they came back and they had trouble having tolerance for everyday civilians is what they would call it. Mm-hmm. And they struggled with that. So they would they felt out of place. They felt out of sync. And it took a few years before my son that I interviewed last week, JD, would trust anybody for help. There's a big trust. They don't trust anything. And I'm speaking in general, so I'm sure there's unique differences in everybody that goes through this. But as a mom, you want so badly to help your children, and you feel helpless and you feel isolated from them because they're withdrawing a bit. And for a while, they'll put on a front that everything's fine. And anybody that's gone through something traumatic, they try to stiffen up that lip and, you know, I'm okay, I got this, I'm good. In a way, there's a slight avoidance of actually processing what happened. And that is crucial because it's like sleeps in there. It internalizes. My son explained it that way. He said it's a lot of internalized energy, emotions, issues that they have to really get out and process. So he was sharing how the meditation helped with that.
Yes, he was. I would imagine that would be a very scary process because after such traumatic visions and happenings, you probably just want to forget about it and to say, okay, now I'm going to look inside and face this and sort mm-hmm. through it. That's not something that most people would be willing to do. So there's got to be a way to tackle that. And so are you suggesting that through meditation, that might be a softer way to begin to take a peek?
It is. I work with clients in a spiritual counseling, and it's not a belief system I'm talking about. Everybody has a spiritual side to them that is what chooses what they believe or don't believe, and that's just part of who we are. It's that side of us that has a voice, too, and I believe that when we work with that side, too, we are working with the whole person. And I had a lot of active duty military coming to me in private sessions because they didn't trust. They wanted to be off the grid, so to speak. So we were working and just helping them find a way to feel safe going inward. When they come back with all that intensity, they're nervous to let that out. They're afraid they won't be able to contain it or control it. What meditation can do is bring you to a place where it's safe to go into that internal landscape and start to process it and organize it and release things or heal things that have been in there just staying there. It's like not taking the trash out. Mm-hmm. You take your trash out of your house every week, or I guess if you don't, that's just not going to be very pleasant. And this is like that inside. And they need a way to safely explore this. Most people want to just avoid it. Yeah. And believe it or not, you may not even realize you have stuff you're avoiding. Most people are avoiding because they're worried about what everybody else is doing. And that is a way to avoid what you need to work on within yourself.
Wow. And what a way to live a life. I mean, it doesn't have to be someone who's been in the war. I mean, anybody who's experienced any kind of traumatic or stressful experience. And I think we all want to just keep it there. And I love your analogy of taking out the trash. We do that every week. And yet we've got all of this stashed mm-hmm. inside of us. We all do. I mean, whether we've been to war or not, we all have something that's stashed inside that we're not letting
Absolutely.
Out. Yeah.
Absolutely. And you're exactly that point. Good point to bring up, Pat, because everybody that has gone through something traumatic can be affected by this, mm-hmm. and you don't realize it. I mean, we know abused women or even abused men or abused children. You can be traumatized by your house burning down or a car accident.
Right. So meditation helps mm-hmm. to sort out all of those internalized hidden issues. And how does that happen? What's the process or the mechanism, I guess?
There's a lot of different ways you can approach meditation. A lot of times people are overwhelmed by it if they've been very analytical or have very busy minds and they don't know how to sit still and all that. And I want to say right off the bat that meditation has lots of different ways that you can approach it. And in fact, a very good one for people that have never done it before and they don't think they can sit there and just be quiet in their mind, that's the whole thing. You're not trying to do anything. Because we're human beings, not human doings, and active meditation is perfect. If you walk, ride, run, people that run and they love it, they're really doing an active meditation because they're emptying out all that stuff and processing it. I think that that's a perfect way to start because you have something that you're actively doing that keeps the conscious mind occupied, the part that wants to fret and worry and avoid and all that. In fact, very powerful meditation can just be 15 minutes max. It does not have to be any longer than that. To do 5 minutes at the beginning, just sitting and being still, freeing yourself from worrying about anything for 5 minutes is a treasure.
You said something very positive and powerful, that the thoughts don't go away, and we're really not asking them to go away, but just mm-hmm. as they come to you, and you just acknowledge it and say, okay, like you said, that was just a thought, and just keep moving on. I think when people meditate too, or they try to, they're like, oh my gosh, I'm thinking about work, and I'm thinking about dinner, and then they're fretting about the fact that they're not meditating and that they're thinking of these thoughts.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. And when that happens, and I have so many students or clients asking about that, and they go, I'm having a hard time, and I go, you may have to do a few sessions of letting that mind run amok. And it's energy, and eventually it's like your gas tank of your car. It does run out of gas, and that's when you'll find your quiet space. This is a way to say, okay, I hear you. What do you got to say? Let it throw its temper tantrum or whatever inside your mind. If you feel those emotions coming up with it, they're emotions. They are responses to what you're thinking about. They're feelings and their energy, too, that process and wash through you. You know, we can find out what we're attached to. I mean, if it's upsetting you, you're attached to it. People go, no, I'm not. I don't want to be attached to that. And they don't realize that it's affecting you because you're giving it power. It's a way of being empowered and taking your power back mm-hmm. so that you're in control of what affects you or what doesn't. If you're meditating, then you're doing it right.
Oh, there you go.
If you're just intending to try, then you're doing it right. There's nothing wrong
right.
with the way you're trying to do it. Your intention will help you find the way that works best for you. And it's about not being perfect. There is no perfection. It's already perfect because there is a way that everybody can find a way to do this that's going to work for them.
Oh, I love this. I love what you just said. Just the fact that you're doing it means that you're doing it correctly. And that's kind of the takeaway I want to leave people with today is that there is not one correct way to meditate. And I think in today's world, everybody thinks they have to be so connected. Everybody's always fidgeting with their phones and texting and Facebooking and Twitter. It's like, put it down, lock it up someplace, and take some time for yourself. It's very important.
Absolutely. Yeah. But when you lose track of time, you are in a meditation.
Yeah.
You are meditating. There's people that will do that at a stoplight. We do hope they wake up and pay attention on the road. But if you had 30 seconds where you just kind of, oh, there's the light, it goes.
Yeah.
You actually had a quick little form of meditation. Mm-hmm. We don't recommend trying to meditate while you drive, but it happens.
That's good to know. And your son made a comment on the show. He said that one of the best things to do is to take control of your breathing.
And just to add to that, if you slow the breath down, it's a switch. It's like the main switch. If you find that you're in anxiety is really the energy of fear. And if you just take your breath and just start to slow it down, you're taking control. You're going to the main circuit breaker and you're throwing that switch, and it immediately will calm your body down and settle you down. And that is something that you have with you no matter where you go, and doesn't cost one dime. You always have everything you need to get control of a situation when you feel it happening. So I wanted to bring that up because that is one of the most powerful things you can start with, is just taking a minute or two with your breath.
And so for folks that are in a hospital or during a medical crisis, even a family member that's sitting with a patient or the patient themselves, these are some examples of how meditation can probably help us through those situations as well. Something as simple as breathing, and maybe breathing together, huh?
Absolutely, because if you are in the hospital, if you have something big going on medically, you know, that's scary time. And then the people that love you, friends and family, they're stressed because they're worried about you.
Yeah.
So both sides of that can benefit. And doing it together is a beautiful way to help each other, because your calm energy reflects off of each other. Also, our stress energy does too, and you're calming each other down, and it's a beautiful thing. You can do it by yourself. You can do it in a group. You can tell. One of the easiest energies to recognize is when you walk into a room and, you know, somebody's really angry, it's uncomfortable to be around that.
Mm-hmm.
You're feeling the energy of anger. And then if you walk into a room where it's very pleasant and peaceful, it's just a lot more comfortable to be there, right?
Right.
So it's a great way to start, and it can really help with the anxieties of being in a hospital, around the hospital setting, the family members that are concerned, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
If you're sitting in the emergency room area, you're really going to feel that intensity.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Because there's a lot of emergencies going on, right?
Yes.
And if you just sat and did that by yourself, you will radiate out peace to everybody else that's out there. It magnifies if you were doing a prayer. You know, a lot of people are praying and do whatever it is that they do, you know, while they're concerned about someone. You could do that and actually leave a great imprint of calm energy in a place that could really use it.
That's a great thought. And that brings me back to, there was a time when my mom was in the hospital for 4 months, and there was one morning in particular, they were going to do this really risky surgery and no one expected her to live. And it was like 4:30 in the morning and it was dark. And my two daughters and I showed up, and my mom is laying there in the bed, and we stood in a circle around her bed, and we each held hands and we sang just this little, I don't even remember what we sang, just this little song. And you could feel, I mean, you not only feel energy, but you create energy. And as people were coming into the room to get her ready, you could just sense that they were drawn into that energy circle as well. So I liked when you said, yeah, that you can create, you know, and put it out there for others as well.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, there are, you know, like the very advanced, you know, I guess you would call it advanced meditation, where they're doing the Om, you know, the Om. They're using that sound as a vibration.
Right.
And music is a vibrational tool, and different notes have different frequencies of energy. So you were creating energy with music and sound frequency. And then that's vibrating through, and that's releasing energy.
Yes.
You were doing this beautiful sound frequency when you guys were doing that, holding hands together. So you were uniting that energy And that must have been a beautiful thing to walk in on.
It was a beautiful thing to experience because you could actually feel the energy going through like three generations of hands. And it just felt like it was going around in a circle. And we were trying to pump that energy that we had into her just to, you know, to hope that she would survive, which she in fact did. So, yeah, you've got to believe in those kind of things and do what you can, especially during times like that.
We have a lot to us. And I feel that meditation is helping, and that's what my son said. He said that that was helping go into that internalized area where things were hiding and going into that deeper side of us. Bringing meditation into it really helps you bring all those pieces of you, you know, into balance.
Right. Well, now you offer private phone sessions and counseling services via the telephone or Skype. Give us that information so that if any of our listeners would like to reach out to you, where can they do that?
I've got everything on my website. That would probably be the easiest way to go.
Okay.
I have online booking. It's jenroyster.com, JenRoyster.com. So they can look at the calendar and select a time, and then I call them. They just leave their number or Skype or whatever. It's recorded, so they have a copy because lots of stuff comes through, and that way they can go back and listen to it as much as they want. So we send them an audio MP3 after the live call. And then I have workshops that I do for people that want to go a little bit deeper as well. And then I have my radio show, which is on Speak Up Talk. Mm-hmm. So, and I go into all different facets of self-help and healing from a metaphysical point of view and energy. It's very positive. It's more, let's choose to be happy versus I hope I'll be happy. I've done this with my own life too. I mean, I've gone through my tough times and traumas. I know from a mother having children that went through some tough things with this healing, and then I went through mine. I know what it feels like on both sides of that. To know that there's somebody that really actually understands that, I think helps too. My goal is to help people know they have options and choices. And yes, the world is changing right now, but it doesn't have to be scary or you don't have to feel powerless because now's the time to really form your life into what you really want. And so that's what I'm helping people do.
Well, I appreciate that. And that's why I wanted you on the show today. I just thought this was such an important topic, not just for folks that have experienced the war or there are for military folks, but certainly if you know anyone that's been in the military, I highly suggest that you visit Jen's website and listen to that entire interview with your son, where you do share the soldier's point of view on how meditation helps with PTSD and actually how it can help support families as well.
If you're concerned about someone, start working to help yourself with the stress that you feel. Believe it or not, when you do that, now you're putting out an energy that will help them too. You would be surprised. Instead of trying to tell somebody to go get help or to stop smoking or whatever it is they got going on, do something to help yourself. Believe it or not, that actually is very powerful in helping another person. Just like you were doing when you were holding the hands around your mom.
Yep.
There is a safe way and there's always a solution to every problem. And you can't, like Einstein said, you can't solve the problem with the same mind that created it. Know that, well, I've got to change my thinking to have a different result. And meditation can help you.
Absolutely. And however you choose to meditate. But if you do need some guidance and some help, I would strongly suggest that you visit Jen's website, Jen Royster, R-O-Y-S-T-E-R. And it's Jen with two N's, JenNRoyster.com. She's got the private phone sessions, and I know that she can help you or give you some guidance. So please visit the website. Jen, what a pleasure to have this conversation today. Thank you for sharing with us.
Thank you so much. And I really hope that this helps encourage someone that listens to your show that there's options out there and they don't have to feel helpless or hopeless. There is always an answer to every problem. So thank you for having me on the show today.
It is our pleasure.
Jerry the Germ, here to spread healthcare and hospital safety tips all over the airwaves. Here's our expert, Pat Rulo.
Hey, Jerry. Just the other day, I went to the doctor and actually found that I had a hard time asking him to wash his hands before touching me. Healthcare-acquired infections often occur due to lack of proper hand washing and glove protocol. So how can you speak up without appearing rude? Start the conversation by saying nothing at all. Hand your healthcare provider one of my Stay Alive icebreaker cards. It says, I'm concerned about healthcare-acquired infections. Please wash your hands before touching me. I tried it. My doctor read the card, chuckled, and washed his hands. What a great way to open the dialogue and create a safe experience. The cards are available at our website, speakupandstayalive.com. Sorry, Jerry, but you're going down the drain.
Stay safe. Listen to Speak Up and Stay Alive Radio. Tune in every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 right here on AM 1220 WHKW. For more information, go to speakupandstayalive.com.
Are you planning a corporate or union picnic this summer? Have a group, club, organization, or a large family? Pioneer Waterland is the perfect location. Whether you're planning a picnic for 25 or 10,000, Pioneer Waterland and Dry Fun Park can offer you something for all ages. Pioneer is two parks in one, the Wet and Dry Fun Park plus the traditional picnic park with a reserved pavilion area and picnic grove area. From an outing you and your group will rave about, visit Pioneer Waterland and Dry Fun Park, 10661 Kyle Road in Chardon, Ohio, 440-285-0910, or visit the website pioneerwaterland.com.
For years now, a lot of you have been driving down I-77 to play at Zoar Village Golf Course. Thank you for the 40 years of support. And if you haven't been here, we'd like to invite you to come see why we've been called a must-play course for Northeast Ohio golfers. Superintendent Eric Crone's greens are always stellar, too. The pro shop is stocked and the snack bar features great food. Check us out at zoarvillagegolf.com. Again, thanks for 40 years.
Now, as I mentioned at the top of the program, I want to share a short piece delivered by a patient activist, Casey Quinlan, at a recent healthcare symposium. Her message is quite simple. Why don't we ask the price prior to a doctor visit or surgery or treatment? I got to thinking about this last week when the gal who typically cuts my hair was heading out for a few weeks on maternity leave. When I called to make the hair appointment, the receptionist said, "Sandy's unavailable, but she recommends that you see Erica." Okay. My next question was, "What does she charge?" And the receptionist happily answered the question. It was not weird or rude of me to ask, and she didn't think so either. Well, then that made me think about a previous doctor appointment when the specialist slash surgeon, who was just itching to cut into my foot, sent me off to his receptionist to make the appointment. I asked her too, "What is the fee?" She looked at me as if I had asked her to perform some advanced algebraic function. Deer in the headlights, crickets. I don't know. You'll have to, perhaps, call your insurance company. Oh, yeah, right. Well, I wasn't even planning on having the surgery anyway, so I walked off. And by the way, my foot is just absolutely fine without the surgery. Well, anyway, when I heard Casey's little monologue that I'm about to play, it made me realize that price transparency, or I should say lack of it, is what's really driving the bus here when it comes to our insane way of purchasing healthcare. So without further comment, here's Casey Quinlan.
No, I am wearing a microphone, but frankly, I wouldn't need one. There is an elephant in the room. What, you can't smell the peanuts on his breath? There is an elephant in the room. There is a big question that no one here is asking, and it is one that is absolutely critical. We are encouraged to ask questions, to share all of our information, to seek treatment options, to seek answers from the best doctors, from our best co-patients, from all of the possible sources. But we're not asking the biggest question. How much is that? Sing it with me. How much is that? Why are we not asking that question? This is so important. If we are really going to make a difference, and I'm not an economist, I haven't played one on TV, and no, I didn't stay in a Holiday Inn last night, I stayed with y'all over at the Marriott. But I'm not an economist, but there are some things that I do know, and boy, this is the weirdest light, I know plenty about markets and consumer behavior, and so do each and every one of you, because have any of you ever bought anything in your life? Have you ever price shopped? Hello, you're part of the crew. We need to start looking for price transparency in healthcare. One of our number, a member of SPM, is doing a site called clearhealthcost.com. It's only got New York so far, but I keep begging for her to open it up. We need to have some disruptive innovation in healthcare driven by patients. And here's a really disruptively innovative idea. Wait for it, folks. Oh, crap. Come on. How much is that? Come on. How much is that? When you go to get your physical, when you go to get your pap smear, when you go to your endocrinologist, how much is that? Because price transparency affects market behavior and therefore prices. Now, I'm not an economist, but I'm no dummy. If people know what things cost, they can start shopping for price and for quality. Because how do you measure value without knowing both? Guess what the annual healthcare spend is in the United States, folks? That's with a T. $2.3 trillion with a T. That's a couple bucks. I think that if it was single dollar bills, we could get to the moon and back a couple times. And that's what economists call a hockey stick price curve. Now that we are in control, but we don't know it. We have to wake up and we have to start thinking in terms of price, not just quality. The only way to really bend the cost curve, and oh my God, there's such weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth and rending of garments and spitting going on Capitol Hill about bending the price curve, there's a very simple way to do it. And guess what that is? Okay, I bet you know, but wait till the slide change just to humor me. Okay, 3, 2, 1, oh my God, I really hope this changes soon. Sing it with me, kids. How much is that? Yay, okay. I gotta work on the timings on this thing a little bit. But no, seriously though, if we start asking what things cost, first of all, people are gonna tell you, doctors are gonna tell you, I have no idea. But the more we ask, the more they're gonna realize they've gotta answer that question. And even people with chronic conditions, in fact, especially for people with chronic conditions, this is a fixed cost. How on earth can you prepare a budget without knowing what your fixed costs are and building them into your planning? Now, granted, you can't plan for a broken leg or ruptured appendix, but you can plan if you have the chronic. My metaphor for the healthcare system is it's a car wash. When you go through, you want to be inside that car. You do not wish to be strapped to the hood. And if you don't ask questions, you get strapped to the hood. That doesn't look like a nice place to be. So what are you going to do now? You're going to ask, how much is that? Because that is the only way for us to finally close the deal and take the power and act as full equals in the healthcare system by saying, how much is that? Because you need to know so that you can keep your wallet intact and also that the system will be sustainable. Because right now doctors are going out of business because they're frustrated because their remuneration's going down where their patient load is going up. Patients are running out of money. I don't have insurance, so I need to always ask, how much is that? Yes. Now, there are a lot of other ideas that I have about healthcare. If you want to find out what they are, you can find me on mightycasey.com and cancerforchristmas.com. And if you really want to start a revolution, ask me about how we can really retool the health insurance marketplace. Thank you and good night.
Whoa, I think she's passionate about her message, don't you? There you have it. Four simple words that should be in all of our minds and on all of our lips. How much is that? Do you think that you can ask that at your next appointment? I hope so, because I cannot think of any other situation at all where we would agree to a service without knowing how much it cost. An oil change? A haircut? A plumbing problem? A babysitter? Never do we conduct business without knowing the price, except for healthcare. That's insane, right? Well, speaking of insane, remember what we first talked about today and to read all of the labels prior to purchasing any food product. Fake blueberries? Insane. Pretend non-GMO restaurants? insane. Flaming hot Cheetos served to kids under the pretense of the words smart snack? Sick and insane. We need to pay attention to these things and change how we are treated. One purchase at a time, one question at a time, one person at a time. And so this coming week, let's make a promise to each other that we will become more aware and ask more questions. Sadly, though, we are now out of time. But remember, if you'd like more one-on-one patient safety and healthcare and hospital survival tips, invite me to speak to your group, club, business, church, organization, or hospital. I guarantee you'll leave armed with some new tools to keep you safe, healthy, and happy. Call me, and we can talk about it. 440-725-5462. That's 440-725-5462. And meantime, get a copy of the book, Speak Up and Stay Alive, the Patient Advocate Hospital Survival Guide. It's only $19.95 plus a few bucks for shipping. And you can order at the website, speakupandstayalive.com. Speakupandstayalive.com, all spelled out. Or you can call me and order by phone. Lots of folks do it that way. 440-725-5462. Talk about how to change how you're treated? Oh, you'll be treated much better when you're armed with honest information. And that is what you'll find in my book. All right, now we're really out of time, but come back next week for more Out of the Ordinary conversations. Same time, same place, but never the same information. Until then, I hope you have a healthy and a happy week, free from food foolishness and red dye number 40. I am Pat Rulo, and I am your guide to safe and successful healthcare and hospital encounters.
Listen to Pat Rulo and Speak Up and Stay Alive Radio. Stay safe from little-known healthcare and hospital hazards. To learn more, go to speakupandstayalive.com. That's speakupandstayalive.com.